Item seven, ABH LLC.
How about you, both of us? What did you vote on?
JBH LLC is requesting authorization to retain a 180-foot long by 5-foot 10 inches wide private non-commercial pier with a 40-foot by 20-foot covered platform, a 12-foot 10 inches by 3-foot ramp over a 6-foot by 5-foot platform leading to a 14-foot by 16-foot 8 inches platform and a 10 by 12-foot floating platform adjacent to property at 475 Windmill Point Road along the Back River in Hampton. And this application is continued from the January 22nd commission meeting. At the last meeting, the commission voted to table Mr. Honeycutt's request for after-the-fact authorization to retain his pier. I'll briefly go through the slides from that just as a reminder. The pier is located at Windmill Point in Hampton. You can see it there. 2002 aerial, the more recent aerial. This pier. The covered deck contained a dining table, sitting area with sofa, a bar, and a TV. The decision to table was made in order to give the applicant ample time to submit revised drawings reflecting his stated intent of converting the covered platform to an open-sided boathouse and eliminating all of the additional unpermitted floating platforms. Staff had originally discovered this violation while visiting a nearby property in June 2007. Staff subsequently issued a sworn complaint and notice to comply dated August 6, 2007. The LLC, represented by Mr. Honeycutt, chose to submit an after-the-fact joint permit application. These were the drawings included in his application. On January 24, 2008, Mr. Honeycutt was sent a certified letter detailing the commission's actions. This letter was received on January 26. To date, staff has not received revised drawings or any other communication from Mr. Honeycutt. Actually, I'll have to revise that. As of this morning, he has submitted us with an additional drawing, which I will pass out to you.
Is this all the same thing?
Mm-hmm. Staff has not had time to properly review this, and so we have not changed our recommendation. After considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1205A of the Code of Virginia, and considering the fact that Mr. Honeycutt failed to submit revised plans and drawings as directed by the Commission, staff recommends that JBH LLC be directed to remove the roof over his platform, reduce the size of the platform to no larger than the 400 square feet provided in code, and remove all additional unpermitted floating platforms within 60 days of receiving notification to do so. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Anybody have any questions?
Can you explain to us what's been applied for now? Is this the application drawing? Is that
what was submitted with his original after-the-fact request, and at the January 2008 meeting, the commission tabled his request because Mr. Honeycutt had indicated that he would come back with revised drawings showing eliminating all of the additional unpermitted floating platforms, so meaning these, and then reducing the size of this and converting it to an open-sided boathouse.
Is that what we have here?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Love to hear from the applicant.
Mm-hmm. This is all we have.
That's all we have. We just received that this morning.
Anybody else have any questions? Okay. The applicant is not here.
Could you put that slide, the one with the cove in there with the other people's property?
Did you want this picture?
The best shot. Yeah, that'll be fine right there.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
What I'd like to say is the reason I have not brought that back up.
Hold on a minute.
I'm sorry. My name's Donald Honeycutt.
Donald Honeycutt. Okay. That's right. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and the truth, so help you God.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Proceed.
Okay. The reason I have not brought back up a revised plan is this was actually before the last hearing that I was here about. The reason why Mrs. Elizabeth had came on out and found my property was there was a dispute, which you don't really have that anymore. I don't know.
Can you come back here and use a can you come back here to the microphone and use a pointer so we can thank you.
Y'all had given I guess the Army Corps of Engineers actually gave it, which I guess in turn they're supposed to give it to y'all, is by what I understand. There's a pier now that goes, here's my property right there, and it comes on out to right here and kicks on out. There's a new pier right here that comes on out. There's another pier that Army Corps of Engineers gave, the 300-foot pier. Both of them are 300-foot piers. And what happened? You got another vacant lot here. That's the person who had called Elizabeth to come on out, and because they had built across. Let me see if I can steady it. They had built across this person's property line, so that was why Elizabeth got called out to these people's property. And it was nothing to do with my pier. It was the two piers that the Army Corps of Engineers gave permission to build. Subsequently, the person who had just recently built a pier built across this person's property line right here, which would go right down here. There's a house right here now, and the pier goes across this guy's property line. He is hiring... as I said, he had talked to Elizabeth about it, and he has hired a marine surveyor to come out and survey this whole cove here by his lawyer's advice, this whole cove here. And what the marine survey is going to do is do the survey out to, by what I was told, out to deep water, which is this canal right here. This is all about roughly about 3 foot at high tide, you know, anywhere from 1.5 to 2 foot at low tide. There's really no sense for me to tear anything down at this point in time, because by what what my neighbor has said that has started all up and got the marine survey, said that everybody has equitable light out to deep water. If that's the case, is to say, here's my house, and let's see here. It comes straight out to right there, and then my property line comes right out here. This person built a pier right there, which is actually on this person's property right here who just built a house. That's over there. And subsequently, this guy had to build his pier going across the next-door neighbor's lot.
Excuse me, Mr. Gunn, I don't see the relevance of what you're discussing that has to do with the structure that we're talking about.
So, well, I might have to tear down the whole pier. And what's going to basically happen is this guy's already paid the marine survey $10,000. It's going to end up going to court, and whatever the judge decides, whatever the survey lines are, everybody's going to have to stick to, or I'm sure it's going to be a big, big mess. And it all basically boils down to somebody built on somebody else's property line, and that person built on somebody else's property line. And so I don't really know what to do. I might have to tear down my whole pier. But that's the reason I did not bring up anything. But I did come up and talk to Elizabeth last week and gave you the Marine Surveyor's telephone number, and Fred Freely, he's the one who hired the Marine Surveyor. As I said, also, I'm willing to, as y'all got in front of you, that I make this a boathouse. I'm tearing out, you know, the picking out all the tables and the couch and the whatnot and make that a boathouse. And y'all pretty much have got right in front of you what I would like to do. But as at this point in time, I don't really want to, if y'all could give me 2 more months, as I said, the Marine Survey was supposed to have been there a month ago. I talked to Fred Freely. I don't know, did you give him a call?
I couldn't get in touch with him.
Okay, did you get a hold of the Marine Surveyor?
No.
Okay. By what Fred Freely told me, that is that he's supposed to start next week, and that it's going to take a week to 10 days for them to do the Marine Survey. And then after that, it's going to take them usually about, he said, 5 weeks for in office to make his recommendations to the court. And subsequently, I'm asking y'all to postpone this for 2 more months, and that I might come back and let y'all know what the findings of the Marine Survey are. I'm sure it would not get in court by that time. But also, it will give me better weather. Say I'm unemployed. I'm going to have to do all this work myself, and I'll just make this a boathouse. It's an open-sided boathouse that will comply with y'all's, I guess, y'all's laws.
Anybody have any questions?
But have you removed the floating platforms? Do you intend to remove the floating platforms?
I wanted to remove one of them, but if I make this the boathouse, I mean, it's up to y'all. The easiest thing for me to do would make this, you know, a boathouse. I do have one. As I say, I got my one boat there that I would like to leave there until I can make this open sided boathouse. So I would like to leave one of my floating piers in until I can make this the floating the boathouse.
Can you put the picture of the structure as it exists there up so we see what we're talking about? Thank you.
That one?
Okay, that's good. Right there.
All right. All of this will be taken on out. This will go in 5 foot from this corner, 5 foot from this corner, and that far corner, come in 5 foot. Take all of this out and make it a boathouse. I can take this one on off, this floating pier off, but I'd like to leave this for the time being until I can get this on out and make it to where I can park my boat. Other than that, I don't really have no place to park my boat.
So the dimensions of your boathouse would be what by what?
I guess it roughly is the outside part.
Yeah, the
dimensions
outside
would be 20 foot by 40 foot.
20 by 40.
That's what's basically there right now, which I think would consequently be 100 foot more than y'all want. But as I say, I did have another pier before, but it got taken down. I don't know if y'all remember that from the last meeting. It got taken down by Hurricane Isabel.
How long is your boat?
My boat's 30 foot.
Good question.
I know that's going to be tight. I'm going to probably have to end up taking more off on one side or the other.
The question is my understanding that you do not have a permit for anything that's here.
Well, what had happened was, sir, I had paid for somebody to get the permits, contract over in Pocosin. And I paid him some money. He delivered the poles, and he said he would start next week. I said, did you get the permits? He said, yep, and here's your poles. I did not hear from him again. So I paid...
Elizabeth, does he have a permit of any kind? Okay.
Well, I applied for a permit, though.
After the fact. But
yes.
You had no permit before you...
I thought I did. As I said, I paid the contractor money. And I thought he was legit because he delivered the poles to the place. As I wrote in the letter to y'all of the person who I gave the money to.
Mr. Robbins?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for Carl, and that would be, how does the prospect of a potential riparian apportionment affect your view of the project or application?
Now, it's clear that what he's talking about is a riparian apportionment, and it's apparently at the very early stages, and I doubt very much that anything could come out of a court within a 2-month period.
Mm-mm. I doubt very seriously either. As he's told, this guy is going to be pushing it, as I say, 2 more in 2 months. that the surveyor would actually have what it is. But if it does not affect my property line, in which I've heard it from two different people. One said it could be affect my property line, and the other person who was actually got it going on, who hired the marine surveyor, he said, no, this is going to affect those three properties right there in the code. But I heard also it could be other ones. And so I don't really know what to do.
When you're talking about a cove situation, you usually wind up with pie shapes. And looking at your property line, you may well be affected by that. On the other hand, I see no reason why there's a need, waiting whatever the court is going to do, to continue to have structures and appurtenances that are not really necessary and won't be allowed under any future circumstance, whether it's tearing down the entire pier or building a boat slip underneath the roof.
Thank you.
I would like for the council to keep in mind that I did have an existing pier there before that was maybe not quite as large. It wasn't as long as my pier, but it had, at one time I think you said, how many square feet did the existing pier have? And you don't have one portion of the pier, which was 16 by 16 on the end of that. And by that picture that you had, I think I can remember from
all
the last
time. All we
have
are his original, his drawings from his application.
You had it last time. You had the existing pier that was there before Isabel.
This would have been it. That was pre-Isabel pier.
Okay. As you can see, that's, and a portion of that is still not on there. It was a 16 by 16 on the end, which was, I don't know how many square foot exactly because it's not there anymore, but I know it's pretty comparable to what I've got now, minus one of the floating piers and the smaller floating pier and probably 100 square foot of the boathouse.
Mr. Chick?
I think that we've got a situation here, regardless of what the courts do, we can still, give our determination, and then, the next 2 months, you'll have to do whatever you have to do. My question is if we grant them an after-the-fact permit, which I'm inclined to make a motion to, saying remove the two pieces of floating dock and give him a covered slip to the dimensions that he's built here, he's drawn out here, how long does he have to build that, to do that? Can we give him 3 months to do it?
What is it? Yeah. What's the ordinary amount of time? Was it 3 years or something like 2 years?
Well, the permit is 3 years for the permit for construction. If you can take it, this is basically a resolution of an application.
Well, I would have it done this summer for sure.
You want to give him 10 days or 120 days? I mean, that's totally up to you.
And now, if it was 100 foot square foot short, smaller, that would be something that we could approve under. You would have been able to approve ahead of time if he had applied for it.
Staff cannot approve any after the fact.
Yeah, but if he had done it before.
If it had been a private view with a 700 square foot open-sided boathouse, it would have qualified for the exemption under the code to the extent that it's within his riparian area. If a court were to turn around and say that it's not, that authorization doesn't count.
And if he has a 30-foot boat,
it's not going to be quite 30 foot. I think it's 28 foot.
28 foot boat, and applied for this size of a covered slip. Would he have gotten a recommendation?
You probably would not have recommended it, but you can't divorce the fact that the structure, the basic structure, is there. Is 20 by 40 unreasonable to allow him to retain the corner posts and the roof, right, to the extent that you can get that boat underneath there?
Right.
I don't guess that 20 by 40 is unreasonable.
Okay. I move that we grant the after-the-fact permit and that he has 120 days to complete the action.
Second. Which is to get rid of the floating portions.
Which is to get rid of both floating portions, to remove all non-water-dependent uses under the cover,
and to build it to specs as drawn here.
20 feet by 40 feet.
20 feet by 40 feet with 5-foot walkways.
With 5-foot walkways. You heard the motion? Mr. Robbins, second?
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Unanimous.
Okay, so I need, what, 90 days, you said?
120. That gives you a little time to get the survey, and then hopefully you won't be involved in that melee, and then you can start your work.
All right, thank you.
Okay, we will now go to item 8, Locus Hill Investment Group, LLC. Mike Kirk, you're on.
Sir.
Sadly.
Locus Hill Investment Group is requesting authorization to construct a community pier without wet slips extending 115 feet channel to mean high water